acknowledge the group from Plattsburgh, New York that were here. And they went home inspired, watching and seeing as they're getting ready to go to two services, how we do children's ministry with two services. Good morning. So great to see everybody worship with you this morning. Last week, we just talked about some things that are up and coming, and one of those things is our freedom groups. And I hope that if you've not heard about freedom groups, that you something kind of piqued your interest. And I mean, I would join a freedom group just to be a part of the January weekend. Just some great, great ministry that takes place there. We mentioned that there are limited spots because as we're really kind of relaunching our freedom groups, we've always had them, but really feel this is a season to emphasize that we know God and that we find freedom. And so I think there's room for 60 or 70 people. And once those are full, that'll be filled for this semester. But we'll look forward to next semester. And if you'd like to lead a freedom group, please talk to us about that. And definitely we would say the first step is make sure you've been in one and you can experience that and experience our January prayer time. All right. Last week, as I got up to exhort after a long summer of not being too involved here in services, but letting the team carry the preaching in the heat of the day. And I really felt a strong exhortation as we talked about Jericho's walls. And I told you that I should preach on that sometime. Well, I kind of slid in a mini series I'm going to do this week and next week before we jump into our fall series. And I want to talk today and next week about what you will learn at Jericho's walls. And there's some lessons, and I felt stirred enough that I thought, hey, sometime, I'll preach about it sometime, I said. Well, sometime's today and next week, so we're going to get right to it. If you need some notes today, I think our team is right ready to serve you and make sure that you have some, or there might be a QR code where you can follow along. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you that there's a strong sense of your presence here today, and Lord, that like Isaiah in a time of trouble. King Uzziah had died. It was a political mess of his country. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Lord, even this morning, as I talk about the eyes of our heart, open the eyes of our heart, Lord, that we might see where you are in our circumstances and our situation today. For you are ever and forever with us. We thank you for that today in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look back at the story in the Old Testament, really a story of a nation who comes out of slavery of Egypt, the nation of Israel, as we look at their history, much of the Old Testament outlines that history, really symbolic, though it happened historically and it is important, really symbolic of what God had in plan for his people and today in the time of the church in this dispensation of grace that we live in today. And that God took us out of our Egypt, out of our sin, and promised us a life with him that the scriptures call the promised land. Say promises. God has so many promises in the Bible for us, and we want to live in those promises. God wants to give them to us, and we want to align ourselves with his principles and his ways so that, not that we qualify, none of us deserve his blessing, none of us deserve his grace. In fact, we deserve his wrath, but that went on Jesus on the cross. And so his grace, we get what we don't deserve. His mercy, we don't receive what we do deserve. And the promises of God, and we want to live in those promises and understand those promises. And so in the time God promised Moses that I will take my people out of slavery, I will lead them to a land flowing with milk and with honey. And speaking of just supernatural provision that would be theirs. Now, the land wouldn't be without giants. It wouldn't be without difficulty. It wouldn't be without its problems, but God would teach them to overcome. And in the same way, our life when we become Christ followers is not without problems, not without difficulties, but we're not alone. We have his power that we can overcome and we can defeat, as we sang this morning, defeat the giants, defeat what is against us. And so just some principles today as Moses led the people, and then it would be Joshua. And the promise to Moses was, I'll bring you to a land that I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. You would own, you would live in the promised land. In the New Testament, just to help us understand today, this symbolism comes through the cross experience. And Galatians makes sense of this for us and says, now to Abraham, that's the father this was promised to, now to Abraham and his seed, capital S-E-E-D, and this is speaking of Jesus, now to Abraham, and Christ was Abraham's descendant, the promises were made. He does not say, and to seeds. And so this promise was not given to national, natural Israel. It was given to the seed of Abraham, Christ himself. The Bible says that the promises of God are ours, not because we're nationalistic Jews, but because the promise of God is to spiritual Jerusalem, the Bible calls us, spiritual Jews, those who understand by faith what Abraham understood, and Abraham gave his faith to. Now to Abraham and his seed, the promises are made. He does not say unto seeds as of many, but of one, and to your seed who is, say with me, Christ. Now, what does that mean for us? If you are Christ, if you belong to Jesus because you've made a decision to be a Christ follower, as many of us in the room have, to come to Jesus, then you are Abraham's seed. We are in the lineage of Abraham because of faith and heirs according to the promise. We get to inherit all of the promises that are in Christ, Old Testament, New Testament, all the promises. Somebody say all. It's important today. I should unpack all of that. Some of you go, really? That's interesting. But let's stay on track with Moses and Joshua. They start their journey. We've started our journey in Christ. And this life of moving from Egypt, from our old life, into our new life in Jesus. And we have many, we can look at the journey in the Old Testament, and many of them coincide with the journey that we are on. And we want to come into our promised land, life in the Holy Spirit, life in the supernatural, life in God's provision, life knowing that God is for me and not against me, that we're not alone. I don't know about you, but as I enter that life, I've entered some difficulties along the way. Anybody else discover difficulties? Only six of us? All right, so let's talk about this thing called lying, and it's Jesus doesn't like it. And how many have faced a difficulty, even though you were obedient? You're exactly, I want to talk about when you're obedient and walking according to the will of God. I mean, I've gotten into all kinds of messes being disobedient and getting off in detour and, you know, skiing off trail of life. And I mean, that happens, and God is so good and gracious, and we learn from those things, and he restores and redeems. But I'm talking about we're on time in the right place and smack dab in the middle of that journey of obedience. Joshua finds himself heading into the promised land. It's the very first city. It's the gateway city into the promised land. And they face walls so high, they were unimaginable, so wide that tradition tells us that they had chariot races on the top of the walls. No one could get into the city. No one could get out of the city. If the city of Jericho shut their gates, it was an impenetrable military genius of its time. Joshua, assigned to go into the promised land and to claim territory, is confronted in that very first, that bam, he hits the wall. I've hit walls like that. I know you have hit walls like that in our time of obedience with the Lord. We're on track, we're in the right place, but we hit an impossible situation. Maybe a diagnosis, maybe something financial happens, maybe just the difficulties of life where everything seemed to be going so great, and then something stalls out and seems to be going so wrong. That might be where you find yourself today, at the walls of Jericho, trying to make sense of the journey that you're presently on. What I want to do this morning is just talk about in that place, and Jericho, Joshua was in that place, of what we can learn at the walls. Next week, we'll talk about what to do when the walls fall, but we'll get as far as that kind of place this morning, and we'll continue it next week. Number one, Jericho is a place that's meant to change your focus. Jericho wants to change, God wants to change your focus. Joshua is out doing some reconnaissance in chapter 5, and the book is named after Joshua, who's this military leader that's going to take the Israel into their promised land. And he finds himself looking at these immense walls. He's there. He's very in close proximity, perhaps a kilometer away or maybe a little more. But, I mean, in that very near distance, he can see only the wall standing in the way. Because God said, you're not going around. You have to go through. Somebody say, go through. God wants you to go through the walls today. Because the promises are inside the walls. The promises are inside you. You're going to miss something if you go around. You got to go through Jericho's walls. It says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho in that close proximity, seeing nothing but the walls, that he lifted his eyes and he looked. Talking this morning about changing our focus, because when whatever it is, the New Testament talks about mountains, and we can move mountains in faith. I'm going to talk about faith in a moment. But when that mountain or those walls, and you get so close to them that that's all you can see, it's all your focus can take in is the wall. The wall is big. There's chariot races. The wall's impenetrable. And you begin the self-talk inside. You begin to see the walls. You begin to study the walls. You begin Googling the walls. Dr. Google or Mr. Google or whoever, and all the stuff. I mean, there's so much information today to reinforce how big our walls are, how impenetrable the walls are. If Joshua had done got his phone out and goes, how big are these walls actually? And Wikipedia would have told him, don't even think about going near those walls. There isn't a nation that has ever been able to defeat Jericho. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he backed up a little bit. He changed his focus. He didn't see just the wall. You can't continue life at the wall. You have to step back for a moment and refocus. It says he lifted his eyes. He lifted his eyes. He changed his focus. Say, changed my focus. It's a photography technique, and now with the I'm not an Android user, I use iPhone, and if you use portrait mode with your iPhone, what it does is it will focus on your subject, and it's called bokeh, and it blurs out the background and really brings into sharp contrast your portrait picture, and it completely changes the picture just by changing what we call depth of field. What are we looking at in our picture? Jericho's walls aren't going anywhere. They're still there. But you can blur them out and put something real beautiful in the forefront of that wall. Because at that moment, Joshua recognized, I've got to change my focus. I can't focus. I can't keep the self-talk going. I can't keep all of this where all I'm thinking about, laying in bed at night with my mind racing about the wall. He had to step back for a moment and change his focus. The Bible says that he lifted his eyes and he looked. He lifted. Say lifted. It's intentional. This isn't just a kind of like, oh, yeah, right. I shouldn't focus on the problem. This is going to be intentional. Now that I'm getting a little bit older, as I was younger, you know, I would work in the yard, and if we were putting in a fence or this summer, I moved a shed, a large 8x12 shed that's on a base, and none of my boys are around, so I had to figure out some science and use a large rock and a big pry bar and use it as a fulcrum and as that shed began to move, and I felt like Hercules, but the next morning I didn't feel so much like Hercules, and so you know, as I'm lifting, you know, I'm going to lift something heavy. You have to be intentional. You got to think about how I'm going to lift this. And in the same way, when you're at the wall, it's not just like, oh, let's just look at Jesus, because you know where I'm going with it. You already kind of know. Oh, yeah, we got to look at Jesus. Yes. But don't get ahead of me. You got to lift your eyes. Say lift. It's intentional. And through prayer, I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. And set some time at the walls and say, this is a good time to talk to Jesus. This is a good time that I got to kind of reframe and refocus. I need to put Jesus in the picture right now. I need to realize that I'm not alone. I'm not walking up and smacking the wall all by myself. I'm here with the Prince of Peace and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm with Jesus at the wall. What are we looking for? Well, I gave it away. Hebrews tells us, keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. He's in your tomorrow. Study how he did it. Be intentional. Lift your eyes and understand how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. It's talking about the cross. How did Jesus endure the cross? The Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he knew how it was going to end. Somebody say there's an ending. It's not at the wall. It's on the other side of the wall. You're at a journey. Jericho's walls are the beginning. It's the gateway to something greater. And even if you find yourself at two or three Jerichos in your life, it's a season of beginning. It's not the end. God wants to bless you. How did Jesus do it? He kept his focus, that exhilarating finish in and with God. And he could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. Intentional lifting. Say lifting. Prayer, fasting, Bible reading. Not because we're trying to earn something, because we're changing the focus and intentionally finding Jesus. Because the second point of finding focus, Joshua lifted up his eyes. He had new perspective. He should have seen Jesus, but he didn't. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and he looked, and behold, a man, capital M, stood opposite him, and with his sword drawn, capital H, his hand. And Joshua went to him, capital H, and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, no. It's kind of a strange answer. Are you for me or against me? I'm at the walls right now, and I'm not sure who you are, but me is very bothered right now. There's a lot going on in my world right now, and this is affecting me. So you're either here to help me, or you're here to help my enemy and build those walls even bigger. So are you going to help me? Or are you going to help them? Because it's all, absolutely all about me. It's quiet. Only one person giggled, because it's that nervous giggle. Like, and when we face Jericho's walls, it's all about us, isn't it? We hit this thing, and immediately, by default, it is all about me. I'm in pain right now. I'm in difficulty. I don't know if I can make it past here. I need to lift my eyes. He lifted his eyes. But when he lifted his eyes, what he should have seen was Jesus, but he was so focused on himself, focused on the wall, focused on myself and how the wall is affecting me. Say me. I know this is a painful one, but it's true. And I emphasized the pronouns that are capitalized, because we call this a theophany, an appearance of Jesus before the incarnate Christ in Bethlehem, and he grew as a man. Jesus, the three in one, existed in the Trinity before he was born in a manger. And we have these little peeks at Jesus throughout the Old Testament. This is one of them. Joshua said to him, are you going to help me or not? No, it's not about that. Joshua, it's not about you. And it's not in a condescending or a mean way. It's in a refocusing. Refocus, get the wall out, get Jesus in, and that Jesus does care about you. But this isn't about you. This is about you getting through Jericho and God being glorified and miracles taking place. Somebody say, all right. So he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I've now come. And Joshua then realized, this fell on his face to the earth, he worshiped, and he said to him, what does my servant say? What does the Lord say to his servant? I'm ready to listen. I'm ready to obey. There's a story in the New Testament of a storm, and Jesus' disciples, who were fishermen, and they were used to being on the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee, a small body of water, was known to be whipped up very quickly by waves that the waves would be like really large. You just didn't go out on the Sea of Galilee if there was a chance of weather. Jesus got into a boat with his disciples. He said, we have to go to the other side. We've got to go across. And so there wasn't a ferry. They would take the boat and get to the other side. Somebody say other side. God wants to get you into Jericho. He wants to get you to the other side. The storm comes up, and literally these hard-bitten, sea-knowledgeable fishermen realize the ship's going down. And so Jesus happens to be in the boat, and I love reading it out of Mark because Mark just uses such colorful, descriptive language. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a fluffy little pillow as he was holding his stuffy, sound asleep. The disciples woke him shouting, teacher, don't you care? Do you not care about us right now? Don't you even care that we're drowning? Guys, I'm in the boat with you. If you drown, that means I have to drown. I'm God. I can't drown. Somebody will figure that out. He speaks to the wind. He speaks to the waves. And they go, who is this that even speaks to the wind and the waves? And the wind and waves obey him. At Jericho's walls, it's not about us. Refocus. It's about one who is greater than you and I, who wants to do a miracle, who wants to bring the walls down, who wants to show you, of course he cares about you. Of course he cares for you. And he's saying, but you just need to understand, it's not all about you, because when you live in the, this is all about me, you lose focus. You will actually accuse friends that have their sword of the Spirit out and want to pray. You're going to start going, oh my, you don't understand what I'm going through. And you're against me. Get away from me. And the enemy begins lying and isolating. And you go into this, it's all about me. Doesn't anybody care? And Jesus said, let's shift the focus. Get away from the wall. It's not about you. It's about Jesus and the great thing that he wants to do. Go ahead and thank the Lord this morning that he's for us and not against us. Number two. Jericho's meant to build your faith. The Lord said to Joshua, see, I've given Jericho into your hand. It's king, it's mighty men of valor. This word, see, with the exclamation, is almost a command. And remember, we were seeing the wall, seeing ourselves. Now we want to see something different. What do we want to see? We want to see and understand that when we are facing Jericho's wall, and God, and you're holding to God's promises that are somewhere inside the wall, and then again, on the life is going to continue, and we'll get through this, and there's something on the other side. But when we feel like this is it, and then someone says to you, like I am this morning, you can trust God for a miracle. You can trust God that he's going to change it. And so we begin to pray and go, God might be able to change this. Well, no, your faith gets a little higher. God can change this. I'm going to wait until God changes this. And we, faith is not understanding that God might be able to, or even that God will. That's not faith. Faith is when you see, say see. I have given, past tense, Jericho into your hand. Now, let me explain this. Faith is when we understand that it's already been done. If Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, do you know that Jesus already is in your tomorrow? He's not constricted by time. Jesus lives in eternity. God placed man into time. We walk through the minutes and the hours and the sun and on the first day and on the second day, and there was Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. We live in the confines of time, but God does not. Our God lives above time in eternity. He already went into tomorrow He's in tomorrow. He already took care of whatever you're believing for. He already demolished the walls. You're just waiting for the movie to catch up. It's already been shot. The movie has been filmed. We're living in it. But what Jesus is telling Joshua, you need to understand, I already went 7 days from now. I'm at the moment where those walls have come down. And you need to understand today, it is finished. It's already done. We're not waiting for God to bring the healing, to release the finances, to bring the wall down. Whatever your walls are, we're not waiting for God to do it. Faith says it's done. Faith says I can see. Faith says, wait a minute, I've changed my focus, and I'm going to start believing the God that's not confined by process. We're in process, which we're going to talk about next week. But God is not. And he already went in, demolished the walls, came back, just like the DeLorean, came back and said, I took care of it. I took care of it. It's already done. Me and Marty went, we got her done. Somebody will get that. See, I have given Jericho into your hand. Its king, which talks about the principalities and the powers and demonic power that we face and we fight against. The Bible says we don't fight against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers in high places. And so God's already defeated all of those enemies. I already took care of the king. I already dethroned him. All the warriors, they're not going to be of any effect either. Nothing has changed. They're standing at the wall, the same wall that we just talked about. Nothing has changed. He's just getting instruction. He's learning at the wall. And all of a sudden, Joshua, faith begins to rise up, and he says, tell me what I need to do. It's already done. On the cross, after Jesus had taken the wine, he said, it is finished. He bowed his head and he released his spirit. He dethroned Satan. The veil was ripped from top to bottom. Come on, somebody. Jesus has accomplished all. Our faith is in the finished work. In the finished work. Not the ongoing work. Our faith is in the finished work of Christ. See? I've already taken care of this for you. Faith is living inside the walls before they fall. Let that sink in. Number three, Jericho teaches you obedience for the win. So he says, okay, what are we going to do? He said, Jesus says, okay, this is what we're going to do. I want you to get everybody, and you're going to march around the walls. Don't make any noise. Just march around the walls. You're going to do it on Monday, and then you're going to do it again on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday, and then time out. What are we going to do? Yeah, you get everybody. Everybody. The kids, the strollers, the wagons, the camp. Just get everybody. And the worship team. You'll need the worship team. Put the worship team and go around the walls. But we're not going to do, no, just go around the wall. Day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six. And on day seven, you'll do exactly that, but go around seven times. And on the seventh time, you're going to shout. We're going to talk about praise and the power of praise next week and why, like this morning, something in the room. People say, wow, did you feel the energy in the room? That energy has a name. It's Holy Spirit. And he's in the praises of God's people. God's enthroned in the praise. Something happened when God's people begin. It changes the atmosphere. That's why we do what we do at Harvest. We'll talk about that next week. Obedience for the win. I don't get it. Could you explain to me, Jesus, why I have to do it this way? I could, but you won't get it. You just won't understand. Well, I need to understand. Can you explain to me, like, why not five? Could we do five? No, I said seven. Well, how about six? Seven? Okay, what if we go, how about we do 10 then? I told you how to do this. Obedience for the win. God, as we'll look next week briefly, that Jesus, in Hebrews it tells us Jesus learned obedience. Jesus learned obedience as he grew from a baby in the manger as a man. It doesn't mean he was ever rebellious. It doesn't mean that he was ever disobedient. The perfect man, who is also God, Jesus, went through process of life being tempted in every way as we are, but without sin. We walk through the process of life, and learning to trust God happens happens when we obey, even when we don't understand why we need to do it the way the scriptures tell us to do it. Trust and obedience. I have a little exception that, as you know, I'm a papa and I have grandkids, and I'm watching this amazing generation raise their kids way better than we did. But every generation kind of overcorrects, and the pendulum swings, and what we usually do is try to overcorrect the difficulties or the hardships of a previous generation. Well, I'll never raise my kids like that. We're going to do it this way. There's a thing called gentle parenting where we want to talk to the children, two-year-olds, three-year-olds. How are you feeling right now? Let's just talk about how you're feeling. And my generation was children are seen and not heard. So it's a proper correction. And I'm being a little bit facetious, I'm going to make a point. We don't want to overcorrect. I want to encourage parents with something today. If you're here and you have children and you're teaching them to obey. And I love that we explain to our kids, because because I said so. Why do I have to do it like that? Because I said so. Anybody get raised in an I said so? Yeah, and but now we're going to the other side and we want to explain everything. And here's the problem with that. You can't explain certain things to a three-year-old or a four-year-old or a five-year-old or a six-year-old or a seven-year-old or a 57-year-old. You can't. And so sometimes, and I'm not saying all the time, I'm saying sometimes, wise parents will look at their children and teach obedience, because as godly parents, we're doing them a very, very, very big favor to teach them how to obey God, so that when they become of age, they've learned something innately and inherently. That my mom and dad were super, super safe. And I remember when I didn't understand, yet I obeyed anyway. And there was success in my life because I obeyed when I didn't understand. Obedience for the win. We don't always understand the processes of God. And God often will not explain, simply because you won't understand. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He shall. Every head bowed and every eye closed. So get ready to close this service today. All across this room, online church, you're here with us today. First, just all of us standing at Jericho's walls, whether you're there today, you might say, I've never been there. Oh, you will be. Promise. Cross my heart. 100% guaranteed. As you follow Jesus, He will lead you to Jericho's walls at some point. Or maybe you've been there and you're on the other side, knowing how important this moment is, that we just determine to lift our eyes, refocus. It's not about me, Jesus, it's about you. What are you about to do in this situation? Lord, let my faith grow. Lord, I believe that you're already in my tomorrow. Somebody in the room right now just needs to know Jesus is already in your tomorrow. He knows how this is going to end. And He'll be there in your tomorrow. He'll be in the day after tomorrow. You'll make it through this. It's going to be okay. It doesn't feel like it right now, but He's in your boat. And you might feel like He's asleep on the job. He's not. You're learning faith. You're learning trust. You're learning that He cares about you more than you could ever imagine, but He cares more about your future and your destiny, and that you would walk in a new victory and a new sense of blessing and a new sense of overcoming. That He wants you to stand beside Him as He commands the wind and the waves. Literally, He stood on the bow of that boat and went, shut up! The Bible says the wind and the waves obeyed. So, Lord, we choose to obey you today, even when we don't understand the process we're in. All across this room, online, Lord, I just pray by your Holy Spirit right now, you administer. We preach the word not just to get smarter about the Bible. We preach the word today. We want to know God. We want to know you at Jericho's walls. We want to experience you in this moment in time. Lord, make yourself real to everybody's head is bowed, eyes are closed, thinking about how awesome you are. Somebody's refocusing, Lord, and they're seeing you maybe for the first time in this situation. And in your mind's eye, just focus, just see Jesus standing with you, promising you, you're gonna get through Jericho. Because I'm already there. See? It's already done. Let faith rise right now. Thank you, Jesus. I want to pray for one more group of people just before we go. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus Lord and Savior of your life, the Bible says that we're separated from God. We can't have relationship with God because of the sin that we're born with. But God sent Jesus to die on a cross. God's not angry at us today. He placed the anger for sin, for your sin, for my sin, onto Jesus. That's why he died such a brutal death on the cross. We call it Easter. He rose again. And today he's here, alive, and wanting relationship with you, desperately wanting relationship with you. He died in order that you could live and be in relationship with his Father, with God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, the three in one. If that's you today, you'd like to receive Jesus, I'm simply going to count down from three, 3, 2, and then 1. When I reach one, I would ask you just raise your hand. I'll acknowledge your hand, and then we're all going to pray a prayer together. The most glorious moment of your life, inviting Jesus into your life, and he answers yes every single time. And then we'll probably get excited. And so 3, 2, this is for you today. You've wondered what life is about, but today there's something inside saying life's about accepting Jesus. And that's you. Raise your hand now. 1. If you're in the room, just so I can see it. Thank you. The front row, I see you. Someone else today. Let's give a moment. Yes, thank you, sir. I see your hand over there. Anybody else? Everyone probably knows by now this is my favorite part of the service. When people discover and know Jesus. If you raised your hand today, we love you so very much. This really is about you right now and about Jesus together and coming together and solving the problem of sin. Pray this prayer of invitation. We're all going to pray it with you. If you raised your hand or online, if you've texted in today, I want to receive Jesus. Dear Jesus, thank you that you love me. Today, I realize I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Jesus, you died for me. You rose again. You are at the Father's right side right now, inviting me to eternal life. I receive it. Come into my life. Forgive my sin. I receive new life. I am born again. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Would you go ahead and just congratulate those who put their hand up today? Hey, we would just ask that you would take one more step. And on your notes today, there's a spot you can check off. If you raised your hand today, I made a decision for Jesus. Give it to one of our host team, and they'd love to give you a Bible today so you can start reading the Bible and finding out the great plan that God has for your life.
I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one
Just a couple of things to you. First of all, thank you for being a generous church. The ways to give are going to be on the screen now and after the service as well. But we just want to thank you so much for your generosity. We love you. And the other thing I want to mention is that September 22nd is Water Baptism Sunday. We love Water Baptism Sundays. So if you have any questions, if you want to be water baptized, or you want to talk to somebody about it, see one of our hosts, or you can actually go to hcfcornwall.ca/baptism, and you'll get all the information you need there. So Water Baptism Sunday, September 22nd. We can't wait. And we love you, Harvest. Have an awesome day. Let me pray for you, Jesus. We thank you for what you've done in this place, in this service, God, in the room, online, people in their homes. God, we just thank you for what you're doing, what you're stirring up inside of us, God, and we lift our eyes to you. God, we walk out of here, our heads held high, our eyes on you. We love you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. We love you, Harvest. Have a great day.